Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Laurus Labs, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steven. Good morning and a warm welcome to everyone to Laurus's 4Q FY22 results conference call. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us Dr. Satyanarayana Chava, Founder and CEO, Mr. V.V. Ravi Kumar, Executive Director and CFO, and Mr. Vivek Kumar from the Investor Relations team. I would like to hand the call over to Dr. Satya for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you for joining us for our Q4 and full year FY22 results conference call. I hope and wish everyone and their family members, colleagues, and friends are keeping safe and healthy during these challenging times. We are pleased to have this opportunity to update you on our progress and answer your questions. During the last quarter, the industry faced some interim turbulence on the raw materials front and also availability and cost of solvents. Now, with the recent geopolitical conflicts and re-emergence of COVID cases in China and elsewhere are posing new challenges. The disruptions in the supply chain and logistics has further increased. We are trying to minimize any disruption to our commitments to customers by expanding our critical supplier base. We are also tracking all of this and would stay agile and force course correction as we execute our commitments. Overall, FY 2022 operationally has been fairly resilient, where we have stabilized on our sales and profitability was maintained closer to 30% despite headwinds in our ARV API business. We also believe that it was an important year where we invested significantly in capacity creation, strengthened our R&D capabilities, built new partnerships in CDMO, and steadily delivered on diversification of revenues along with minimal supply chain impact. This was despite a lot of uncertainty and disruption in the business environment. During the year, we also successfully forayed into disruptive CAR-T technology by way of investing in ImmunoACT for a substantial minority stake. This investment should significantly help in bringing innovative and more affordable medicines in this region. We continue to fortify our core to bring more resilience in our business operations to deliver long-term sustainable growth and enhance strategic customer value proposition in the coming years. We remain affirmative on our aspirational sales target of $1 billion in FY 2023, and this will be supported by several approvals anticipated and good progress we made in our multi-site capacity expansion across all divisions, including CDMO. Moving on to our financial results for full year FY 2022, we achieved 4,936 crores with a growth of 3%, whereas Q4 we achieved 1,425 crores against 1,412 crores in the corresponding quarter. Sequentially, we have substantially improved on our revenue numbers across major business verticals as guided in our Q3 call. To begin, I would like to share key updates on our formulation business. The formulation division reported revenues of 1,880 crores in FY 2022 with 13% growth, whereas 491 crores for the quarter with an increase of 14%. The contribution from this division has improved during FY 2022 to 38% when compared to 35% in the previous financial year. Coming to LMIC ARV business, we started witnessing gradual stabilization in the demand from various multilateral agencies versus our previous quarter performance, which was impacted due to stocking at various channels. Dolutegravir-based regimen continues to remain preferred antiretroviral treatment and believe its use will also increase rapidly in second line as well as pediatric treatments as the new standard of care. During quarter four, we received final approval for lopinavir-ritonavir combination from the US FDA, and we have launched that product recently. Additionally, we are awaiting few more product approvals, which should drive growth in the coming quarters. Laurus is fully integrated player in ARV formulations, and we do believe we have fair ability to weather any pricing challenges in the coming quarters. Happy to share that Laurus has signed and will be part of MPP license for Pfizer's oral COVID drug Paxlovid. This will increase the broad access in LMIC markets. Coming to the developed markets, we are observing stable market share for our products. We are not seeing any pricing pressure here. We continue to leverage our front-end presence in the US market for the new product launches. We have filed one product during the quarter, and a total of four ANDAs were filed during FY22. Our overall filing number have improved versus FY21, and we expect filing pace to pick up during the current financial year. We have received three approvals during the quarter and total five approvals in FY22. Cumulatively, we have a total of 31 ANDAs filed. Out of these, we have a total of 11 final approvals and 11 tentative approvals so far. In Canada, we have 11 product approvals, of which we have launched 5 products, and we intend to launch 2 more products in the next few quarters. For the European markets, we have validated 2 products as part of our contract manufacturing partnership. We expect a significant upside in FY23 from these products. In Europe, we have a basket of 8 approved products, of which we have already launched 3 products, and we will be launching more products based on the market opportunity. Based on our healthy product pipeline progress, we continue to invest in FDF infrastructure. Our brownfield expansion at Unit 2 is progressing as per our expectations and is expected to add significant capacity to our FDF operations, taking the capacity to 10 billion units. Currently, the brownfield expansion is under qualification and will be ready for commercial use before June 22. On the R&D front, we continue to allocate critical resources and invest in portfolio with product-specific approach, not the market-specific approach, based on the complexity and scale economies. Additionally, we are implementing steps to bring more robustness in our overall product development processes. Besides this, we are happy to share that we should be ready to commercialize our sterile R&D unit during this quarter. This is being set up at ICS in Altsbach Shamitpet. Overall, R&D spending to sales for this quarter and full year was at 4% of our revenues. We have a total of 62 products in the R&D pipeline, either under development or under validation, with an addressable market size of 45 billion brand sales. I would like to share the status of our filings. 31 ANDAs in US, 11 dossiers filed in Europe, 17 in Canada, 9 with WHO, 4 dossiers in South Africa, and 7 in India, apart from 19 products filed in various ROW markets. Of the 31 ANDAs filed in US, we have 15 Para 4 filings and 10 first to file opportunities, having a sizable market opportunity. As mentioned, our approach remains product-specific, not market-specific. During the quarter, we have successfully completed EMA inspections for our Unit 2, and brownfield expansion also was inspected by the European agency. When we move to give you updates on the generic API, we want to update you on the antiviral ARV front. ARV business during the quarter saw improvement in procurement, and sales to other generic companies have grown sequentially. by 47% to almost 300 crores. For the full year FY22, the business reported negative growth of one-third, almost 33%, due to high base effect. While overall demand environment stays softer, we remain optimistic about further recovery in the coming quarters. We continue to maintain a leading market share in the product line, what we sell, and also expect to increase our developed market API supplies. We are also happy to share that Onco APIs reported 72 crore sales during the quarter, reflecting a growth of 16%. Laurus Labs have one of the largest high-potent API capacities in India, and we are partly adding new capacities during the next 12 months. We also had a lot of capacity in the previous 12 months as well. Our aim is to strengthen global leadership in some of the existing products by focusing on high-potent molecules and increase our market share. In other APIs, other than ARVs and Onco, we have achieved 171 crore sales during the quarter. This was supported by new contracted supplies. For FY22, while our growth was muted, we believe the segment should return to healthy growth trajectory in FY23. During the quarter four, we have filed two DMFs, both non-ARV, taking the total number of DMFs filed to 73 to date. And we filed 12 DMFs in FY22, which is maximum DMFs filed during a financial year in the company's history. We also initiated validation of few APIs and expect to see good growth in FY23 and 24. We continue to have higher order book visibility in this segment, and accordingly, we're adding manufacturing capacities to capture this opportunity. When it comes to CDMO business, this business has maintained its solid growth momentum and delivered robust growth, and we doubled our revenues from by almost 100% to 360 crores in the Q4. For FY22, CDMO business grew very strong, over 75% year on year. We continue to pursue several active projects in the late stage clinical programs and commercial supplies ongoing for core products. On our multi-year supply contract, we executed in Q2 FY22. The CapEx work is on fast track. Additionally, our proposed greenfield investment to set up a dedicated R&D center for our CDMO division at Genome Valley, Hyderabad, and three manufacturing units in Vizag under Laurus Synthesis is progressing as per our expectations. New sites for this division will have the capabilities to handle steroids, hormones, high-potent molecules, apart from large-scale products. The last one, division Laurus Bio, the revenues have improved over 40% quarter on quarter to 35 crores, mainly led by new capacities getting operational. For the full year FY22, the sales was 100 crores, which is a very significant growth, almost 70% compared to pre-acquisition annualized run rate of 58 crores, as we bought more operational synergies and added more capacities to this division. We're also gradually ramping up on the 180,000 liter fermentation capacity with our large-scale partners. We scheduled expansion at R1, including new R&D block, and installing balancing equipment to enhance capacity at R2. This expansion will be completed before September 2022. We're also in the process of acquiring additional land to further expand our manufacturing capabilities to offer CMO services for recombinant food proteins. Our focus on ESG, quality, and regulatory compliance to drive sustainable growth and further accelerate on efficiency and pipeline opportunity remains our top priority. This will aid our journey towards our vision and strengthen our core values. With that, I would like to hand it over to Ravi to share financial highlights.
Thank you, Dr. Satya, and very warm welcome to everyone on our quarter four and full year FY22 earning call. The total income from operations, 4,936 crores, with a 3% growth. And the quarter is about 1,425 crores, against 14-12 crores, reporting in a similar number for the both corresponding quarters. But of course, the sequentially we have grown as we indicated in the quarter three. Gross margin improved to full year at around 56%. But of course, the quarter four, the gross margin is slightly lower side. That's because of the solvent price increase substantially in the quarter three that is got affected or consumed in quarter four. And there's the selling price decrease from the ARV supplies. And of course, the product mix also will matter. Our EBITDA is for the quarter four at 398 crores. It's around 28% margin. For the full year, 1436 crores with 29%. We have indicated that 30% is our expected gross margin. It is close to what we have guided. Our diluted EPS for the quarter is at 4.3 and 15.4 for the full year basis. Our ROCE is at 26.3. And CapEx front, for a cash flow, we have done about a 950 crore CapEx in the full year. This is well within the two-year guidance. Rest of the CapEx will be incurred in the this current fiscal, FY23 fiscal. We also would like to update that most of the investment across key projects on track. And of course, we have provided more details in our investor presentation. You can refer to that. We remain on course to strengthen our position as a cost-effective integrated pharma player. And we are investing in backward integration efforts in making intermediates, creating further API and FDF capacities in the non-ARV infrastructure. Of course, you all aware that we are in a most difficult, challenging times, not only on the war side, but also from the COVID front in the China side. We are trying to gear up by using all the techniques to not to have any production losses. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just on these selling prices of ARV, if you could just throw some light in terms of how much on a relative basis over past 6 months, how much the prices have fallen and what has triggered this price fall?
The FY22 ARV sales for most companies were in the ARV space were significantly lower, and everybody has significant inventory. That led to the price decrease both in APIs as well as in the formulations. I can't give you a specific number, but the API prices and ARV prices both were down, I would say, around 10%, I would say. I can't give you a specific number, but around 10%.
Sure, that helps, that helps. But with this inventory now getting normalizing, there's no, or rather limited scope of these prices recovering. So whatever 10% falls, that is what will probably continue in the going forward basis as well.
I see some improvement will come from softening of the raw material prices and solvent prices. But we don't foresee the API prices and formulated prices going up. I think this could be the new base. So we haven't seen any significant price drops from FY20-21 remain constant. FY22 was the year where we saw a drop. But I don't think FY23 will have a further drop. I think this is going to be the new base. And we don't see... We have seen from Q3 to Q4 and also Q1, we have order books, and the prices are at a new base right now. We don't expect prices will go down further.
Got it. And just on your 1 billion target for FY23, so broadly, will it be like spread out across four quarters, or you see more in second half FY 2023? If you throw some color on it.
I think it has to be spread out. I can't give you a very specific number, but it will be evenly spread out. Yeah.
Understood. Just lastly, with this 1 billion in FY 2023, like how much of it, you know, could, you know, build upon FY 2024 as well? Or is there any business which will be only restricted to FY 2023, out of this $1 billion?
I think we see a lot of opportunities, not just in FY 2023, but FY 2024 as well. As we build capacities, we are adding a lot of customers, a lot of approvals are expected. I don't see there will be any one-off in FY 2023 for us to reach our target. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot for addressing these questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harith Ahamed from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on Laurus Bio. The 35 crore revenue for the quarter, so very impressive ramp up there. Trying to understand how much of the 180-kiloliter capacities are being used now. What is the utilization of the new capacities that we've added as of the fourth quarter? And slightly from a long-term perspective, from biotech ingredients that we're making now, and as we aspire to do fermentation-based drugs and maybe therapeutic proteins in the future, the current capacities that we have at Laurus Bio, will those capacities, can we use those capacities for these, you know, future products that we would be, you know, we would be manufacturing at Laurus Bio? And how long will that journey be as we transition from the current set of products, which are largely enzymes, to drugs and therapeutic proteins?
I'll answer your question in maybe three parts. One is, our 180,000-liter capacity is fully operational in Q4, and we are taking up some debottlenecking exercise to add more downstream capacity so that we can utilize our fermenters much better than what we're doing today. So, new capacity, fermentation capacity will only come by end of 2024, FY 2024. So significant growth in revenues at Bio can come only in 2025, despite, maybe probably some growth will come because of the debottlenecking of R1 and R2. That is one. And second, in the current plan, the medium term until 2025, FY 2025, we have no plans to go into therapeutic proteins. So most of our capacity utilization currently and until FY 2025 will be only in the food proteins, recombinant food proteins. So we are still having a strategy, internal discussions, when and how we will enter into therapeutic proteins.
Okay. Okay. And then the same fermenters, including the 1 million capacity that we are adding, can the same fermenters be used for, you know, drugs like statins or therapeutic proteins when we enter those businesses? Or those are totally different types of reactors that's needed for those kind of products?
The 1 million liter large fermentation capacity, what we're creating, is for CMO of food proteins.
Okay.
The fermenters for other pharmaceutical intermediates is under discussion with our bio team at Bangalore, and that capacity has to be created separately to this food protein capacity.
Thanks, sir. That's helpful. Understood that point. Second question is on the CDMO and segment, and we have talked about three new facilities which can potentially start supplies from FY 2024, 2025. So, how much of an increase we are seeing in our CDMO capacity? So, you know, what kind of an increase from the current capacities will happen for the CDMO business when these three new facilities come on stream?
Currently, the capacities are shared between the CDMO and generic API space. So as we are seeing a lot of opportunities, we are creating dedicated capacities for CDMO. The reactor volume what we are creating for CDMO will be close to start with 500 cubic meter, and maybe 600 cubic meter is right. And then we have the ability to add more capacity brownfield, because the land parcel what we are using for these new greenfield facilities is big.
Okay. So the current 7,000 kiloliter capacity that we're talking about is overlapping between APIs and CDMO. That's the way to think about it.
Yes, you're right. The 7,000 cubic meter capacity is shared between the divisions. And whatever new capacity greenfield we are creating is exclusive to the CDMO division.
Okay. And then last one, with your permission. When I look at the balance sheet, there's a sharp increase in other current liabilities. Trying to understand what has led to this, and operating cash flows appear to have benefited from this. So is there something that you can call out here?
I think the other current liabilities, because of the higher purchases in the quarter four, so we need to gear up for the higher revenues in the FY23.
Okay. I'll maybe take it offline. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. For any follow-up, may be requested to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Just a couple of questions from me. One, so the $1 billion target in the current financial year, what is driving the confidence for this? I mean, are there some products that are maybe approaching expiry or some one-off opportunities in the U.S.? That's number one. And number two, bookkeeping question on contract manufacturing revenues in the formulations business, and how much was ARV as a percentage of total business for FY22?
As you've seen in FY22, our ARV API business is 25%, and synthesis business is close to 20%. In FY23, we expect all divisions will grow, but the percentages broadly will remain similar. What it means, that means we have opportunities to grow API business back to healthy growth. Formulations in U.S., we have a few big launches ahead of us, and we are expecting approvals for two products in Europe where our partner, we already signed a big contract manufacturing. So the growth is evenly spread between APIs, formulations, and CDMO. And bio will also grow, but that is not going to be a significant portion of in overall revenue base.
Okay, and how much do you say ARV formulations plus API as a percentage of FY22 revenues?
ARV APIs and formulations are close to 55% of our revenues came from ARVs.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Inna Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. So the first one was just a clarification on the previous question on the ARV versus non-ARV business. This 55% share of ARV business is the total ARV share in the entire revenue stream, or is it just for API-FDF?
APIs, ARV APIs contributed only 25% in FY22. See, in FY16, the year before we went to public, the ARV APIs contributed 82% of revenue, and it was down to 25%. The ARV revenues in API revenues in FY16 were 1,450 crores. In FY22, ARV API revenues were 1,250 crores. So while we remain the almost constant on our revenue terms, but the percentage terms went down from 82 to 25. That is the kind of diversification the company went through the last 6 years. Whereas our revenues from formulations are zero in FY16, but in FY22 we had 38% revenue coming from formulations. So our formulation revenues in FY16 were 20 crores and we did almost 2,800 crores in FY22. CDMO revenues were of about 100 crores and we went up to 917 crores in FY22. That is the kind of diversification what we were talking earlier, and we will continue to put efforts to diversify the business further by FY25. As we mentioned, by FY25, our ARV sales, both the APIs and formulation put together, should be maybe 1/3 of our revenues. Yeah, not 55 as in FY22.
Okay, thank you. And my next question was on the synthesis business. So given the $1 billion target on your previous statement on, you see the mix remaining broadly similar. So do you see the change in margins with the $1 billion target coming through like a CDMO business, or would you guide your margins towards being similar to what we've seen in the last 2-3 years?
I think we will be very similar. We don't want to give more precise details, but it will be very similar.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ratik Gupta from Guardian AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you and congratulations for your numbers. I just wanted to know how are we seeing on the forecasting proportion mix for API in the next coming year? Towards API and other, ARV and other onco and stuff.
See, our onco APIs, yes. When our revenue base was small, it used to be about 8%. Now, also it is about 6% of revenues in FY22 despite the big base. The non-ARV, non-ONCO were very low in FY16. About 4% of revenues came from non-ARV, non-ONCO. That went up to 10% in FY22. So that also shows our diversification. We have validated about 10 API, 12 DMFs filed in FY22. That was the highest in our history. And majority, not majority, all of those were, except one, all of those were non-ARVs. So we see opportunities for us to do more non-ARV, non-ONCO revenues from FY24 onwards. So we believe we have reached significant optimum level in both the APIs and formulations and ARVs. And our growth predominant will come from non-ARVs, both in APIs as well as in the formulation space.
So it's fair to say that it will be equally proportioned in the coming quarters or year?
So I couldn't get your question, sir. Can you repeat?
No, is it fair to say that the proportion will be almost equally or, I mean, focus will be more towards the non-OMPA and non-ARV?
Yes. In the coming quarters and years, we expect the revenue contribution as a percentage-wise will come down from ARVs. While we maintain the same quantum of business both in APIs and formulations for ARVs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And my second question is, in the presentation I saw that we are trying to maintain the leadership pipeline in the API segment. So what could be the market share as a whole in US, Europe as such?
It's a... Maybe we can take this question offline. We can't give you the specific product share in US. So we haven't lost any market share and we haven't seen any pricing pressure in our products what we are selling in Europe and US.
Okay. And the third, a small question, sir, and another on that. We are seeing a revenue growth to be seasonal in the Q4 or FI for 3 years. So do we say that the business is seasonality or is it just because the growth of synthesis is higher in this quarter?
Typically, for the last several years, our Q4 synthesis revenues were higher because of the bulky shipments happened in the Q4 to suit the production demand of our partners. But But not significant other than that. Yeah.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you. And congratulations to all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasraas PMS. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir. This is a wonderful set of numbers. I just want to understand, like earlier we were saying that we have $1 billion aspirational target, and then we receive a large order from Global Life Sciences Company, and then we then basically in one of your interviews said $1 billion is not an aspirational target anymore, we will achieve it. So, just want to understand, was this order earlier the part of your aspirational target, or this order has come over and above the target that we were basically thinking of?
See, this relationship with the new partner is already there. We got additional orders from the partner. It's not that we have added a new customer just to, during the last financial year. And see, we were talking about this aspirational number almost a year back, maybe 2 years back actually, not even a year. So this is the goal we kept, and we are adding products, we are adding capacities. Ultimately, we need two things to achieve any targets. One is, do we have capacities? Answer is yes. Do we have products? Answer is yes. Do we have the market? I think yes. Because of these three things, and we are prepared well, so now we are confident to reach our target.
Okay, okay. And secondly, the CDMO quarter, so this quarter CDMO sales has been very, very good. And I think this included only 1 month of supply for the new order. So looks like next year can be really pretty big, in fact, for CDMO. So how much you are expecting to close FY23 for CDMO? Is it like
30%? Unfortunately, we can't give you more details, but we can assure you that our focus and commitment, conviction on the CDMO business is giving results. And that's the reason we have created a separate entity. We are creating separate facilities for the division because of the some long-term contracts that we have signed, some opportunities in front of us. So this division is worth watching for everyone, including us. So we are investing because of opportunities ahead of us.
Perfect. The last question, sir, is there any update on the Immuno Act? They started, I think, the human trials some 6 months back. So any timelines when the results will be out or something?
We expect some results readout during this financial year. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the large order from the Global License Company. Just wanted to understand, there is now like how potent, what would be the potential from this particular molecule? It could be a one-off, right? Like in the start of the call, you mentioned that after $1 billion, it's not going to be any one-off in the $1 billion in FY23. But it seems like something like a Paxlovid could be a one-off. And what would be the potential for this molecule in this year itself?
See, just I want to reiterate, in our aspirational target, there is no one-off revenues considered. Just I want to reiterate. And, yeah.
Okay.
We can't give you any specific details about the product quantities right now because of the confidentiality issues. We can't give you more details.
But also, potentially, like if I see, like Pfizer has mentioned that they're going to do $22 billion of sales by this molecule. And even if you consider a...
your voice is... sorry to interrupt, but your voice is not good, sir. If you can speak closer to
the Sure. Sir, I was just thinking that Pfizer has mentioned that in its presentation that they're going to do $22 billion of Paxlovid sales in CY22. If you consider 3-4% of our total opportunity size for us, it's pretty sizable for us. So can you throw some direction in there? Like, is it a $100 million plus opportunity for us, or is it much bigger?
Sir, unfortunately, we can't give any details on our contract, product, or pricing, and the quantum of the order also. See, we gave what we can give and what we are supposed to give.
Okay, okay. Fair point, sir. Fair point, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hussein Kagzi from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my first question was with regards to CapEx. So I wanted to understand that with the huge cost inflation going on right now, so are we seeing that our cost of CapEx, what we had guided for, is are we seeing any inflation on that side? So that was my first question.
See, if you look at our several quarter investor calls, the one where we are increasing is our CapEx number. So we were giving lower guidance and increasing it because of the opportunities. See, in the last year, we were saying for 2 years, our revenue, our CapEx will be between 1,500 to 1,700 crores. And now, for next 2 years, we say it is between 2,000 to 2,500 crores. That is the kind of CapEx is there in front of us. That's for next FY23 and FY24. We may spend anywhere between 2,000 to 2,500 crores CapEx.
Okay, understood. And sir, on CDMO side, just wanted or the custom synthesis side, just wanted one clarification is that as far as my limited understanding goes, the innovator contract, so our revenue is dependent on how the molecule progresses from one stage to the another and on the success of the molecule at the innovator's end. So referring to the large contract that we signed, that we announced at the end of Q2, so how is that structured? As in, does it include a manufacturing component as well for which we will be supplying, or has the molecule already been commercialized? This is with regards to what we announced in Q2.
The molecule is commercialized and we are supplying, so there is no uncertainty in that.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Rathod from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. This CDMO contract, would we start contributing from 1Q FY23 in a normalized way, or it would slowly ramp up over FY23?
It's already supply started, and we'll supply as per the partner demand. We can't give you any more details on that.
But it won't be like initial stage, it would be very low, and then eventually second or third stage you will supply the full quantity. It would be evenly spread out, right?
It will be spread out. Yeah.
Okay. And on the CapEx side, have you increased the guidance from what you were talking of last quarter?
Yes, we have increased our CapEx guidance by almost about 500-600 crores than what we were saying earlier, because of the opportunities what we are seeing, and we want to ready with capacities to take on those opportunities.
Okay. Thanks. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naresh Sutar from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. My question is again on margins. If I look at the gross margins, is this a new base for FY23 and going forward? For quarter four margins, I'm referring to.
Quarter four margins were down when compared to the previous quarter or the corresponding quarter for multiple reasons. One is the challenges in solvent pricing, raw material pricing, logistics cost, product mix changes, energy and fuel cost, all those contributed to lower gross margins there.
So this will, I mean, like you said, yearly the price pressure, which is new base, even solar prices, I don't know whether it is coming down. So that way, this should be the new base for our gross margin. It works.
See, the ARV API sale and formulation sale ARVs will remain, we expect little growth, but mostly flattish. So as we increase our revenues from non-ARV, both APIs and formulations, we expect these gross margins should slightly go up from the current base. Yeah.
Okay. One more question. Can I say quarter to quarter, the CSM business, the CDMO business, the margins were similar to quarter three in not asking for actual numbers, but rationally, was the margin in that segment same versus last quarter, quarter three?
We can't give you segment-wise gross margins, but as I mentioned, from 52% gross margin in FY quarter four, we'll put efforts to increase it further. But we can't give you more details beyond that. So it will go up. We don't expect margins to go down.
I appreciate that. I asked this question because I just wanted to understand whether the raw material pressure was seen in CDMO business as well. That's what.
No.
Oh, thank you.
No. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for a much improved set of numbers. First, just quick clarification first up. So our aspiration is for, you know, in addition to the revenue aspiration, is the margin aspiration closer to 30%? Is that was mentioned earlier in the call for FY23?
We remain confident to achieve that kind of margins. Yeah.
Okay. Second, sir, the solvent pricing, have we been able to take on some price hikes to compensate, or has the pricing started to stabilize or even moderate a bit? Any color on the overall, you know, in fact, raw material pricing as a whole for this quarter and the coming trend?
We expect the prices, solvent prices and raw material prices will soften further. But currently, the weaker gross margin, what we report in Q4 is because of several factors, including solvent prices and raw material prices. And we expect that will soften further and we will improve our margins from the 52% higher. Yeah.
So you also mentioned specifically energy cost and logistics cost. Any color on incrementally on those line items? And also if anything on the disruption emanating from China, if you can share your views on that.
The energy cost only transient. We don't expect that cost to be there for several quarters. So we may see that challenge for only Q1. Then onwards, we don't see any energy cost escalation. And the other fact is freight costs are higher for not just pharma business, for any other business as well. And we have no visibility on how and when the logistics will be improved. Yeah.
Okay. But it would be fair to say, sir, that specifically energy costs would have impacted maybe by at least 100 bips, maybe slightly more on the margin front?
We can't quantify, Tushar.
Okay.
See, sir, what Dr. Satya is talking about is a quarter one of the FY23 on the energy cost, except with the coal cost increase which got impacted last year.
Okay, sure.
But the energy cost is not going into our gross margin. It is below that. So our gross margin is raw material, sale price minus raw material cost. So our energy cost will impact our EBITDA, but not our gross margin. Yeah.
Right. So actually, sir, the overall gross margin, if you see, year on year, the gross margin has actually been flattish only, but our overall EBITDA margins have come down. So certainly these line items have got impacted, right?
See, because of the scale effect. See,
operational deleverage. Yeah. If you look at what happened, our revenue numbers are similar numbers of last year. But you have an escalation of the costs. Those costs have to be absorbed into the EBITDA. That is the reason you will find the difference on a yearly basis, Tushar.
Sure, sir. Second, on the strategy side, so one, if we could share more color on the sterile R&D, and also when we had done this minority acquisition in the ImmunoAct, you know, startup, at that time we had mentioned this as being only an, you know, sort of an investment, but our commentary in this con call has been that this is a significant foray for us. So is there a plan to consolidate the stake further in ImmunoAct or maybe develop this line of business further?
I'll answer our first question in the sterile R&D space. So we wanted to, in the sterile space, so we, you know, ours is R&D first approach. So we're putting up R&D center for our sterile. And then we have land to set up a manufacturing facility for sterile products. Coming back to ImmunoAct, this is an investment and we have no plans to consolidate. And certain part of our profits we wanted to invest in technologies where we don't have expertise like this. And we continue to identify such opportunities. But that's not our core strength. So, you know, we our core strength is manufacturing and ImmunoAct core strength is drug discovery. And so they will do their portion and we have no ideas to consolidate them or invest in similar lines.
So it would be fair to...
Mr. Bora, so sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipen Sheth from Jion Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I want to, you know, kind of raise this question about gross margin change over 3Q to 4Q. In an effort to understand how much of that happened because of business mix change, how much of that was happening because of price erosions, and how much of that happened because of maybe a pull up from the higher mix of the synthesis business in the fourth quarter. Because I think the outstanding feature of the fourth quarter is that you've delivered more than 150 crores incremental quarterly revenues on the synthesis business. Now, normally I would expect that that's a very high gross margin business. I don't know the specifics of your business. But with this kind of a boost, if sequentially gross margins fell from 59 or 58.8 to 52%, despite a huge boost from the synthesis business, there's something about the relative movement of, you know, margins across the four segments that we are missing here. So I think Naresh did ask this question, but I'm not sure whether I could understand your response. How would you interpret this for us, that synthesis goes up by, you know, from 207 to 360 crores sequentially, and there is a reasonably higher contribution from APIs as well, another 100 crores in incremental contribution. So was it that margins fell sharply in the API segment, the gross margins again? So how do you reconcile this for us?
In the generic, you have to consider both API, ARV APIs and ARV formulations.
Right.
Both we have been to a new base. So there's a price reduction in both APIs and formulations happened. In non-ARVs, we haven't seen pricing pressure. As we increase our non-ARV revenues, not just synthesis, but also in non-ARV APIs, non-ARV formulation sales goes up. So our margins level will improve further. So we were at a new base in ARVs, and that's the ARV price reduction is the major contributor to drop in gross margins. And then solvent prices. Right. These are the two major reasons for dropping gross margins.
And would it not be fair on my part to expect a pull up, countervailing effect, as it were, from the synthesis business ramp up? Is that a fair assumption to make, that synthesis is a very good gross margin business and should have pulled up a little bit the overall gross margins in the quarter?
As we mentioned, the margins will move up because the revenue contribution from non-ARV business will go up. That is the reason we expect the 52%, from 52% we expect improvement. We can't give you how much will improve, but there will be improvement possible.
All right, sir. Understood.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surjit Pal from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have just one question about that CDMO business where you have started supplying product which has been commercialized as stated in the presentation. If you throw some light about your client's product in terms of therapeutic area or market where it has been launched, and how much sales we could expect in say next 2 to 3 years, and how many suppliers will be there along with you initial, 2 to 3 years?
See, unfortunately, we can't give you any more details on that. Pricing or product or quantities, we can't give you because of the confidentiality. See, that is one reason why people like us, we maintain confidentiality with our partners' products. So generic, we have given enough details because we are able to give. In the CDMO, we can't give you any details. It is not our product, it is their product. So we are bound to confidentiality agreement. We are giving gross margins, price reductions, all possible facts in our generic business. We can't give you in our CDMO business.
Yeah, I'm not asking you tell the name of the product or the company or the things, but I need to understand, or we need to understand is that, the kind of therapeutic area or the kind of, number of people who are supplying this API currently to him,
Unfortunately, we don't know how many suppliers are there. We don't know.
Generally, 2 to 3 suppliers will be there initial 3 years post-launch.
We don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. Just on revenue aspiration, 1 billion, just I wanted to understand, in better perspective. So the growth in FY23 we are talking about is more than over 50% on Y-on-Y. So that could be built on mostly on synthesis business, API or formulation. Can you give some indication?
See, one thing all of us need to understand, did this company ever achieve 50% growth in revenues earlier? We have done that a couple of times. So even if you look at FY 20 to 21, we have grown more than 50%. And in FY, actually we have grown in FY 20, FY 12, FY 13, FY 14, our growth is more than 50%. That means we have the ability to create a base and then grow significantly. And if you believe that we have delivered multiple times earlier and we will also deliver this time because of our capacity, what we have created, because of the products what we have, because of the order book what we have, we will achieve those. So you are right, we have to grow more than 50% to achieve our target of 1 billion. And we are fairly confident on achieving that.
So it is more towards formulation business or
all segments will grow. All formulation will grow. API, except ARV APIs and some formulations, all the rest of the divisions will have significant growth.
Okay. So for FY24, can we see a growth over
FY23? We can't comment right now. So maybe we can ask this question in Q4 FY23. We'll be able to give you some answer.
Okay. And just on formulation side, what is our level of integration? How much business is integrated with our own API?
Except one ANDA where we are filed by using third-party API. All other ANDAs commercialized or under development are based out of in-house API. In fact, the one which we use third-party API, we don't have any market share.
Okay. And I see in balance sheet. Yeah.
So sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up, maybe request you to rejoin the queue, please.
Oh, sure. Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. With respect to what the earlier participant was asking, with respect to a $1 billion revenue target. I do believe that we're expecting the two formulations that were to be launched in Europe to contribute. Is it possible to say, are we expecting that in H2, or will we start seeing some of that contribution from H1? And what is the opportunity size that we're targeting?
I can't give the size of opportunity, but those products will be commercially launched in Q3.
in Q3.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and apart from that, on the CDMO side also, apart from the one contract that did start some marginal contribution in Q4, the other one for which we're doing the fast track capex, is that also expected to start contributing from 23?
The capacity what we are adding currently is also about 15% of API capacity we are adding, but that will not contribute to revenue in FY23. So this, see, we have to grow in FY24 as well, for which we need to create capacity. See, unless we create capacity, how the pharma company will grow? Either we have to do acquisitions or create capacity. You know, most of our growth is coming organically by creating capacities in-house. So we are putting capacities for our future growth.
I'm referring to the multi-year contract that was signed in Q2.
That we are creating capacity, a greenfield new site being created that will be qualified mid of next year. That is, sometime Q2, Q3 next year will go commercial. Yeah.
So we're saying mid of 24.
Yes.
Sure. And only. Yeah, sorry.
Mid of calendar year 23. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Okay. Understood. And on the onco API side, or rather on the non-ARV API side, do we have capacity to continue to grow in that space also?
Yes, we have capacities. We are creating more capacities in iPotent.
But that will come towards the end of 23, the new capacity in API?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe you can just tell me what is the current utilization level in the API segment?
Full. Actually, we're running optimum capacity.
Okay. So maybe on the non-ARV side, growth will come towards the end of the year once new capacity comes.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, all of you, for giving outside in view what we are doing. And these questions will certainly improve our thinking and our strategy to create long-term stakeholder value for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.